exploring our oneness with spirit and each other. Unity Online Radio. Thank you for tuning in for this Unity Partner Program. Unity Online Radio partners with spiritual leaders from organizations whose mission and messages complement Unity's. We are pleased to bring you this program on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Thank you for joining us for the Michael Chapman Giving Show. Each week, Michael will highlight the joy of giving, as well as shed light on some of today's humanitarian heroes and donors in both the private and corporate sectors. Michael will show you why giving of yourself is truly the best gift you can receive.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Michael Chapman Giving Show. We're really excited about our guest today. His name is Dr. Salvatore Alimore. He is an associate professor at Grand Valley State University, and Salvatore has put together a film on philanthropy, and we're here to talk about it. Welcome to the show, Salvatore.
Thanks, Michael.
Well, you've been jetting across the world, you know, doing some exciting stuff. So I guess we'll just start there, a little bit about your background. How did you end up in the field of philanthropy?
Yeah, this career in academia is my third. I had actually gotten a bachelor's in business, worked in the corporate world for about 9 years, and then switched over to the nonprofit sector and worked for nonprofit organizations for about another 9 years, got my master's at Georgia State in nonprofit management, and then I taught 2 semesters in that program, and then I realized, wow, I really want to teach in higher ed. I think this is my future, so went to Indiana University and then earned my PhD studying philanthropy in their program, and wound up at Grand Valley, and now I'm in my 8th year teaching philanthropy and nonprofit administration.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, we're excited to have you here. I do want to ask you about the new film that's out. So let's talk about the film, the name of it, how it came about, why did you decide to make it?
Yeah, the name of the film is What is Philanthropy? So the title is posed as a question. And I hatched the idea in the fall of 2008. And, you know, Michael, in the fall of 2008, that wasn't really a good idea to start new ventures and new ideas.
That's true. That's true.
So my timing wasn't that great. But I had just earned my PhD studying this concept from an interdisciplinary approach. And I had all these ideas in my head. And the thought occurred to me that so many Americans are engaged in philanthropy in many different ways, but it seems like the understanding of the concept of giving and what role beyond it playing in our lives plays in our society and how it interplays with the market and government seem to be lacking. So I envision this big gap, you know, so much activity and engagement, but not so much understanding. How do I bridge this gap? And, you know, for 5 seconds I had the idea of writing a book, and I realized nobody was going to read it. And then the thought hit me that the visual medium would be probably the most powerful and effective way to try to address this issue. So I embarked on the idea of producing a documentary. So this is my first film. It took 5 years to complete, almost 7 to get it to market, where it's now being distributed by Indiana University Press. And it's been a long journey. I put $70,000 of my own money into the film, and then I raised an additional $70,000, so the total cost was $140,000 to make the 86-minute film. And now we're at the point where I hope people can use it, enjoy it, learn from it, and, you know, enhance our understanding of this broad concept of giving.
So what was the process like making this? Because you had to put your own money in, you had to raise additional money, it took a long stretch of time to do it, lining up the producers. What was that process like for you?
Yeah, it was complex and lengthy. You know, being a first-time filmmaker, you know, I realized I had to, you know, bone up on this concept of making a film, which was completely foreign to me. So attending workshops, seminars, getting some equipment, playing around with some equipment, But I quickly realized, you know, I'm not a filmmaker. I'm a full-time university professor, so I know enough to be dangerous, but I need to surround myself with a bunch of professionals. So that means cameramen, that means digital file managers, some technical advisors. So I surrounded myself with a bunch of professionals, and then, you know, I had to wear different hats. I had to manage a budget. You know, as you said, I had to raise the money. I had to schedule our travel because we traveled all around the United States to shoot the footage. Had to gain some new technical skills, market the film, develop the website. So really, you know, you're wearing so many different hats. And you know, the fundraising was challenging. You know, I mean, looking back on it, I mean, who wants to donate money to a university professor who's a first-time filmmaker? That's a big risk, you know, and you have to put yourself in the shoes of the donor. You know, who would want to risk their donation on such a thing? But once we got a couple of gifts from some local family foundations, I think those were the icebreakers. And then other funders realized, wow, this seems like a pretty good idea. Let's invest in it. So, but yeah, the process was complicated. And then finding the subjects to be in the film, people say, well, how did you find these people? You have some celebrities in the film. How did you know? Basically, Michael, everything was cold calling. I didn't get everybody I wanted in the film, but I probably got about 80% of the people I wanted in the film, and I was just happened to be very lucky that the subjects believed in the idea and were willing to, you know, donate their generous time to, be interviewed in the film.
Now, you've made it perfectly clear that this is definitely a philanthropic effort. It's not like it's going to make it onto the big screen. I'm not going to see you on the Oscars or anything like that. So what do you hope to accomplish with this film?
No. I realized right away that this was not, you know, this is not going to be Transformers or Spider-Man. It's not going to be anything at the Cannes Film Festival or anything, no red carpets, no Oscars, you're right. And but I was okay with that. You know, the ultimate goal really is to have as many people as possible view the film and hopefully walk away with it, having expanded their understanding of the concept of giving and maybe get people to reflect more meaningfully or strategically on their giving and break some myths about philanthropy along the way. Because I think you know, people like you do an awesome job with your show and educating people on giving and even with your books that are available, you know, off your website. But the mainstream media, I think, still is lacking an understanding and doesn't do that great of a job. I think they're getting better, you know, about communicating about philanthropy. So hopefully this film can contribute to that effort and, you know, help Americans understand that, you know, because we rely so much on philanthropy, there's a lot at stake in all of our lives and the future of our society. So hopefully we can, you know, create a larger understanding of the concept.
So let's talk about the title. How did you come up with the title?
Yeah, I guess that was driven. I have to give kudos to that PhD program at IU again, because we studied it from an interdisciplinary perspective, meaning we brought in the influence of religion, theology, philosophy, ethics, business, economics, sociology, psychology, and the nonprofit literature, which is growing. So I didn't want to be presumptuous. I didn't want to be arrogant and come out and say philanthropy is this, knowing that it could be interpreted differently by many different people. Because it's such a broad concept, each of us as individuals have our own perspective, take, definition, if you will, for what this concept is. So I thought, it might be nice to pose it as a question, let people watch the film, and at the end of the film, let them conclude in their own minds what they feel the answer to the question is, based on their own life experiences, the people they've met, the places they've gone to, their own giving, rather than me try to define it for them. I got a lot of criticism, Michael. A lot of people said, no, you shouldn't have the film in a form of a question. The title's terrible. But I stuck to my guns, and I went with it, and it seems to be working out okay.
Yeah, for those who don't know, I'll let you do this, Salvatore. Why don't you tell them the title that you landed on and how they can get a copy or watch or view the program?
Sure, sure. The title is What is Philanthropy? It's available on DVD and Blu-ray. If you like, if you have a Blu-ray player and you like enhanced sound and video, you can. It's in HD. You can get it at Blu-ray. And it's available through Indiana University Press. So they can go to www.iupress.indiana.edu. And philanthropy is one of the search categories, and they can find the film available through IU Press.
Now, I was very intrigued by not only the business plan that you put together, the fundraising plan that you put together, and you talked about cold calling, even some of the celebrities, some of the subjects to get inside of the film to participate. Can you share with our listening audience any stories to tell about the making of this film, good, bad? What kind of stories can you share?
Sure. I guess I we could start with Mike Farrell, who is best known for playing the role of B.J. Honeycutt on the popular television show MASH, which is now in syndication. And he had just written a book called Just Call Me Mike. And I happened to buy the book and read the book, and I was very inspired by what he said in the book and his career, you know, not just as an actor, but his involvement in areas of social activism, his serving on the board of Death Penalty Focus, a nonprofit that tries to abolish the death penalty, and a lot of his issues, you know, social activism around issues of conflict and fair elections and his focus on the death penalty on a global scale. So I contacted his publisher, and then his publisher served as the intermediary and then contacted him, and then he requested some information, and I explained what I wanted. And before I know it, we had scheduled an interview, and my cameraman and I were on a flight to Los Angeles, and we met him at a specified location, and he gave me about an hour of his time. another interesting story, Senator Charles Grassley from Iowa, I had to book his interview 6 months in advance because, obviously, U.S. senators are very busy people, and my cameraman and I flew to D.C., and we're in his office, and we noticed the office was very busy. There were three or four interns with a bank of phones answering calls nonstop. A lot of chatter in the office, a lot of people running back and forth. My cameraman turned to me and said, you know, Sal, there's a chance you might get canceled. You know, the senator might be very busy today. I said, oh, he can't cancel. We've flown all the way, you know, from Atlanta to D.C. And he said, no, you don't understand. This is a U.S. senator. He can cancel anybody for any reason. So his aide ushered us into his office, and he came running in, sweating, and he said, shook our hand, said, gentlemen, do you mind if I just clean myself up for a few minutes? Sure. He sat down, and after introductions, he said, you know, today is the busiest day I've had in my 20-year career as a U.S. senator. The reason why was he was head of Senate Finance Committee at the time, and he owed a report to President Obama, who was going on national TV later on that evening to talk about the Affordable Health Care Act. So I tell that story because here's a guy who had every reason to cancel the interview, and he still squeezed it in and gave us 30 minutes of his time and was gracious, and, you know, we got the interview.
Those are some great stories there.
Yeah.
If you're joining us, we're talking to Dr. Salvatore Alaimo, who is a professor at Grand Valley State University, specializes in nonprofit management and administration. And we're talking about his film, What is Philanthropy? So let's come back to this here, Salvatore. This is a little bit off the beaten path, and I promise we will, before the interview is over, come back to the film. But I just want to get your thoughts on what have you learned through this process since you said that philanthropy could be so many different things. Any specific takeaways in terms of the messaging, in terms of what have you landed on what it is?
Yeah, that's a very good question and also a tough one to answer. You know, maybe I was a little arrogant myself, you know, thinking, well, okay, I got the PhD studying this concept. It was interdisciplinary. I know all there is to know about philanthropy. Well, I should have realized, no, I don't. And that's the whole reason why I'm making the film. So the experience of making the film made me realize that there is a lot more to this concept than I ever imagined. And it was very humbling. It made me reflect back on a PhD program. And, you know, when you graduate out of a program like that, usually your family and friends revere you and think you're an expert. And what I always made sure to tell them is, yeah, I may know a lot about this concept, but PhD programs are very humbling. They actually remind you of all that you don't know about your topic. So making this film was yet another reminder of all that I didn't know about this concept. And, you know, I thought there were a large variety of ways that people can give, but making this film just opened my eyes to many more. And I think one of the most influential takeaways were the Mother's Milk Bank. So these were moms that had just recently lost their newborn babies. And, of course, they're still producing milk. And what do they do with this milk? So they donate the milk to the milk bank so other moms who have newborns that are having trouble producing breast milk can use their milk.
Wow, and that's powerful.
It is. And, you know, and you see one of the moms crying in my film. And, you know, what do you do when a mom's crying in front of you? Well, you keep the cameras rolling and you hope that everything's going to be all right. This mom particularly talks about how she lost not one but two babies in the trimester in both cases. And the first time she didn't know about donating milk. The second time she found out about it. And, you know, she characterizes that as a way of somehow, you know, the baby living on, you know, through the breast milk that can help other moms. And the thing that I learned most about this, and all three moms interviewed mentioned this, that by donating milk, it actually helped them get through the grief. Mm. And I, you know, Michael, I never thought about philanthropy as a, I hate to even use the word tool, but as, I guess, as a medium or a vehicle to help people get through grief. So this was a perspective I had never had before. So this is one of several examples through the process that made me realize, okay, there's even more to this concept than I thought there was. And very humbling, but also very, you know, enlightening as well.
Yeah. The older I get, the less impressed I am with, I guess, pundits and, you know, so-called gurus of philanthropy who sit around at conferences and kind of pontificate on, you know, issues that don't really matter. As it relates to our sector, and to hear you simplify this, to talk about what the ladies are doing around their breast milk to be able to help other people going through very difficult situations is just so powerful. To me, that is the true meaning of philanthropy.
Yes. And, you know, some of the myths I hope to break along the way, you know, were number one. And this is something you talk about in your book, Next Generation Philanthropy.
Yes.
This is,
mm-hmm.
that it's more than giving money, right?
Yes.
So I hope to break that myth. I also help to break another myth, because a lot of people, you know, the cliche phrase, the average citizen, if there is such a thing anymore as an average citizen, but most people I come across, including my own family and friends, they view the word philanthropist as, you know, only something related to someone like Andrew Carnegie, John Rockefeller, Bill Gates, someone that has great wealth. And I remind them that we all are philanthropists. We all probably have engaged in giving already. We don't realize it. And we all can give in many different ways. So those are two of the sub-takeaways that I hope people, you know, get out of this film.
Yeah, now you touched upon, I think, something, and I know there's a movement afoot right now, Salvador, to try to democratize philanthropy so that it's not something that is viewed just by the wealthy, you know, the Oprahs, the Brad Pitts, and mm-hmm. Angelina Jolie. So right. I'm curious, at what point did you arrive at that point that, you know, everyone could be a philanthropist? Was it through the film project, or you had pretty much arrived at that point as you were going through your PhD program?
I have to give the credit to the PhD program. One of my professors is Robert Payton. He has since passed on, but he was one of our ethics professors, and you know that his modern definition of a voluntary action for the public good, and studying that concept and reminding you know us as students that yes, giving money is a large part and an important part of philanthropy, but there are other ways that people can give, and you know, some of the other ways that I cover in the film that I have to circle back and give credit to the program at IU for influencing me were, you know, things such as advocacy, things such as social activism. Those two, just two examples here, are things that normally are not included in discussions about giving. And my argument is that they are different forms of giving. You know, I always ask my undergrad students, was Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. a philanthropist? And they'll usually pause and they'll noodle on it for a few minutes, and then the hands will start to go up. And some students will say, yes. I said, well, why? Well, he volunteered his time. He donated his time and his life and his knowledge and skills to a cause, paid the ultimate price for this, and society is better off through legislation and policy and culture because of his effort. So my students argue that, yes, Dr. King was a philanthropist. Now, he may not typically be called that, but in how we frame philanthropy in that class, my students were able to make that connection.
That is so powerful there. Yes. So we have about 6 minutes left in the show, and I just want to make sure that you get a chance to really get out some of your talking points, some of the things that you learned through the film. So what's next? Is there a sequel?
People ask me that often, and I don't think so. I never want to say never, but I think making this film, Michael, maybe took some years off my life. So I want to live a little bit longer. So I don't know. You know, I often joke with my wife because my wife is Chinese, and I say, mm-hmm. you know, she asked me about this question. I said, no, honey, this is like the China one-child policy, you know, that they used to have. I think this is the one child that I birthed, and I don't think I'm going to have another one.
So there's no what is philanthropy too?
You know, at this time, I don't think so. I think we're going to see how it does with IU Press first. Right now, it's getting out there. Individuals are purchasing it, some public libraries. The higher ed market, which was my hope, is starting to latch onto it now. It's, you know, over 20 universities have purchased it for their libraries so their professors can use it in the class. So I think we'll see. I think we'll wait and see if the response is really good. And if IU Press thinks that maybe this is something we can try again, and I'm able to get some funding. I think getting funding maybe the second time around, Michael, might be easier than the first time, having, you know, this already in the can, because getting funding was really hard. You know, one of my takeaways was I went into this naively thinking, okay, this is a documentary about philanthropy, about giving. Surely those in the world of philanthropy are getting excited about this. You know, almost in the way that if I made a documentary about carpentry, you know, the National Association of Carpenters and the Carpenters Union, I'm sure, would probably get excited about this. And I didn't get the response from the institutional philanthropy world that I thought I was going to get. So maybe it was a bunch of reasons, taking a risk on a first-time filmmaker and a professor who, and, you know, we academics, you know, have a bad reputation for never finishing projects. So maybe that was it. But if I can secure funding and if people think that there's demand for this, I might consider part two.
Well, let me ask you this here, too. And we have about maybe about 3 minutes. Just take about a minute. If you can change one thing about the field of philanthropy or improve, what would that be?
Wow. Oh boy, I'm thinking of three things. So I'm gonna narrow it down to the one.
Okay.
Financial.
I'll give you three. Go ahead.
Okay. So the first one, which I think we're already moving in the right direction, and I'm so happy to see funders really doing a better job, is not putting as much pressure on the overhead issue and understanding that overhead expenses there's more to that than meets the eye, and that those pie charts don't really tell us a lot. And, so luckily we're going in the right direction there. So that would be one. A second one would be more financial support from funders for evaluation. So nonprofits can have the financial resources and maybe even some technical assistance to be able to more formally evaluate their programs and demonstrate the effectiveness that we all want to see.
Sure.
And then lastly, I guess kind of circling back to the film, I think the third thing would be to really start to broaden our understanding of the concept. So, you know, we don't think philanthropy is just a foundation giving a nonprofit a grant, that it's more than that, and that we all can be part of this party. We all can, you know, jump in and enjoy this party and engage in it and give in many different ways. So I would say those are probably my top three in no particular order.
Yeah, and those are some great things, too. And it seems to be very consistent with other people that I've had on the show to talk about that. I guess the other thing that they have said would be greater collaboration. And I know that's overdone, but you do hear that, more collaboration in the sector.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. I think, you know, some people argue there are too many nonprofits. I don't have an opinion either way on that. I don't know. Some people think we don't have enough to fill the needs, but I think nonprofits need to pool their resources and think about ways to collaborate and be, if they can, be more cause or issue oriented than, you know, self or organizationally oriented. But that goes to the funders too. I want to see the funders walk the talk on this issue. I want to see them collaborating more as well around their common interests, because after all, they're the ones holding the resources.
So that's right.
Even more logical to me for them to collaborate.
Yes, and that's a great point, too. And I wish we had more time. I have about 20 seconds, so I got to wrap it up. I promise we'll talk again. Today we've been talking with Dr. Salvatore Alimo from Grand Valley State University about his new DVD, What is Philanthropy? We'll see you next time on the Michael Chapman Giving Show.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Michael Chapman Giving Show. Join Michael at 11 a.m. Central on Thursdays as he helps you uncover the joys of giving, featuring today's best-known philanthropists, private donors, public foundations, and a host of others. To give really is to receive.
Online Radio has helped you grow spiritually through programs like this one. Please consider supporting this online radio programming. Visit www.unity.fm and click on Donate Now. Thank you for helping us continue to serve as the voice of an awakening world.
Peace in the presence of conflict. Love in the presence of hatred. Forgiveness in the presence of injury. These words are easy to say. It's challenging, though, to live them in everyday life. After all, I can make my words and actions peaceful, but I have no control over the words and actions of others. That's true, but think about it. If you, then I, then others, one by one, responded in love in every situation, the effect would be like the wave you see spread across a sports stadium. It would go on and on, gaining momentum as it moved through the people around us. I can let peace begin with me.
To find a Unity Church near you, please visit our website at www.unity.org.